I'll give a bit of a high-level understanding of where we actually got to with this first statewide treaty based on all that hard work and the power of the democratically elected assembly. So one of the key things is decisions about us being made by us. And this is a pretty straightforward concept and idea, but it's been hard to execute properly over a number of years now. But we have a mechanism to do that with the enhanced First Peoples Assembly of Victoria. So the types of decisions we're looking to be able to actively make and actually make the decisions relate to the confirmation of Aboriginality process. And so we're making sure that how that process works is actually led by First Peoples, and the decisions ultimately sitting with First Peoples about what that process looks like, with scope to add future powers to the role of that assembly. We can shift away from this reliance on government, which has happened for so long, where government might have been well-intentioned and wanted to be able to transfer decision-making powers, but had no mechanism to do so. And through this enhanced First Peoples Assembly, sitting in the structure of the Gulang Wal, which is the overall body, that will enable First Peoples to be actually decision makers on First Peoples matters. So that's a really key component of this process. Another key component of the work we're looking to do, which is around building on the knowledge, skills and leadership of our community. So we're looking to establish a First Peoples Institute to be able to enhance the existing skills and capability of our community to step into all these new roles that are going to exist within this space, which is really, really fantastic to know that we can have First Peoples leading on that education and upskilling of our community. To get better outcomes, not just in the treaty space, but then more broadly as well, to support our ACOs, support our traditional owner organisations, to also have the necessary skills and expertise they need. It's all well and good to talk about the government and what they might want to do and what their commitments are, but unless someone's actually holding them to account, it doesn't mean very much. And the closing the gap work has been going on now for quite some time and still not delivering the results we need. And the Productivity Commission did their big review that finalised last year and made it very clear that one of the things that was missing was an independent First Peoples-led body to actually monitor and hold government accountable to what they're supposed to be doing. And that's exactly what we're delivering through this first statewide treaty. The Ninyan Nyangmar Wara is going to be the independent accountability mechanism, which will actually follow, track and monitor what the government is doing, not just around closing the gap, but all other existing policies and frameworks and future policies and frameworks the state has, and also the recommendations from Yuruk. So we saw the powerful work of Yuruk and that powerful truth-telling work. Whilst Yuruk as a Royal Commission has finished off, we know that there needs to be accountability on delivering on that work of Yuruk and those powerful recommendations. Also, in terms of additional work for this future body, is taking over some of the work the state previously held around the upgrading of infrastructure for our community organisations. And this is seen for me as a really powerful example of where we can take an existing program that was totally led by the state and say, well, that shouldn't be the state leading that. That should be transferred across to a First Peoples democratic body being the one that's actually running and delivering that program. So that's a key step towards hopefully many more programs being transferred across so that First Peoples are responsible for delivering on First Peoples business. I mentioned the Yuruk process before, but whilst Yuruk as a Royal Commission has finished off, we know there's still many more truths to be told. And we also need to make sure that all those truths that have been told don't just sit on a shelf somewhere. And so we're going to have ongoing truth-telling through the Nirnya Yuruk Talkuna, which will ensure there is ongoing truth-telling, that we can have place-based truth-telling as well. And a key part of that truth-telling is going to be about making sure that we teach that truth, teach that history to our future generations. And so one of the key outcomes we've achieved through this first statewide treaty is the curriculum for public schooling for prep year 10. There's going to be a process to ensure that that powerful work from Yuruk, including the official public record, will be integrated into that curriculum so that as many children as we can actually understand First Peoples history from First Peoples perspectives. And we think that's going to be really powerful to change that mindset that might be out there by having First Peoples leading that process of First Peoples education. Another key component about changing mindsets and getting people to better connect to our culture and better connect to First Peoples is through place names. And so through the first statewide treaty, we've got an enhanced role for the assembly as a naming authority to be able to streamline this process of where traditional owners want to make sure that place names better reflect the traditional names. We can streamline that process through having the future assembly as that naming authority recognized within the state. And that will see then some really the ability for greater connection for all Victorians with Aboriginal places through the recognition of those place names. We also want to make sure that we're able to share and celebrate our cultures with all Victorians, including by having a formal role in participating in ceremony of the state. So within the state's processes, it has to factor in how it will involve First Peoples within its ceremonies and its celebrations to make sure that that's an embedded part of how Victoria goes about its business, is by sharing and celebrating and recognising First Peoples cultures. And amongst all this work we're doing, we want to make sure that we're building things for the future. This is about treaty for the generations. And there are many things that our community have spoken to us about for a long time that they wanted to achieve through treaty. And whilst we might not have achieved all of those through this first statewide treaty, it's our anticipation to be able to negotiate future statewide treaties as well. So this is really just the first building block of that treaty making process at the statewide level, recognizing also that at a local level, traditional owner groups themselves, the ones that Jason was talking about before, will be able to negotiate their own treaties at a local level. So there's a parallel process of treaty making that's happening here in Victoria. So that's an overview of the really key things. Now that the bill has been introduced into Parliament and had the second reading, you can find a copy of the bill. You can also find a copy of the treaty. So the treaty is the overarching document, which is essentially commits the government to introducing that bill. So really, really encourage people to look through both the treaty, which is a really powerful document, about 30 pages, and then the bill, 300 pages, probably less interested to look through that line by line, but it is there and outlines these key things that we're achieving through this first statewide treaty. Well, we're putting in place some really powerful symbols to redefine the story of Victoria through some different components. We're putting in place new architecture around nation building. So that includes the ongoing First Peoples Assembly of Victoria. It includes the Nyinman Nyanyawara, the accountability mechanism, the Nyonya Yoruktal Kuna, the Office of Truth Telling, the First Peoples Institute, the ongoing Self-Determination Fund, and that infrastructure fund. And then there's the powers. And this is really a key component of all this work, is to strengthen our representation role for First Peoples directly with government. And so these powers that are in place now through this bill will enable the future First Peoples Assembly to talk to Parliament once a year, to meet with Cabinet at least twice a year, to talk directly to ministers and heads of departments, to have guidelines in place about what those processes look like. And there's a duty to consult placed upon the government that any time departments are working on policies or programs that are directly about First Peoples, and then more broadly as well, there's a duty to consult with First Peoples. So the Assembly will be that mechanism to make sure we're engaging with our experts to get better outcomes for First Peoples through the work of the government. And all of those components then are protected through both the treaty and through the statewide treaty bill. So really powerful to get those commitments in, and having this bill now into Parliament means that we're that one step closer to realising that first treaty in this nation's history. So we've got the passage of Parliament coming very shortly. There's been the introduction of the bill. The next sitting week is in the middle of October, where the bill will be debated. And it's crucial during that time of debate that we flood the government and MPs with support and amplify the key treaty information and key messages. Once the bill is through Parliament, that's when we'll actually sign the treaty. And so that will happen after the bill is passed through Parliament. And that's hopefully then later on this year. And then we'll also line that up with a big celebration. We need our allies to continue to walk with us. And there are some key actions we want to continue to call out for our allies to undertake. We want you to make sure that you learn about treaty and spread the word. You can make sure you sign up to our newsletters, sign up to our socials, so you can then amplify our messages. Flooding MPs with support. We need to make sure that our members of Parliament know that this is something that Victorians support. So by sending an email and calling your member of Parliament, that's really useful. Flooding them with support via postcards, calls, letters, emails, meetings, and penning a letter yourself or from your workplace or your union or union branch to the government. And then there's collateral as well that you can pick up. There's lots of merch out there. There's postcards, there's leaflets, there's stickers, there's bags, there's flyers. Pick those up from Trades Hall. The more we can see that out there, that continues to build that momentum and make sure it's very clear that Victorians do support this treaty process.
There's a question here from Lockie. The question is, what are some tips for pushing back against the harmful narratives being pushed by the right-wing media about treaty? Ruben, do you want to tackle that one?
Thanks, yeah, Conrad. Happy to. So it's been interesting following along what some of the right-wing media people are saying, and not sure how to read into it, but so far all their concerns is based on misinformation. Which in a way is good, because they can't find anything about that we're actually doing that they've got a problem with. So they're almost having to misconstrue stuff. But it is important we be able to push back on some of that stuff and at least set the messaging correct. And one of those key ones is obviously around the referendum and people saying, well, you know, we already voted no to this. And I think if anybody voted no to a First People's Assembly in that referendum, they got the wrong cards, because that's not what anyone else was voting for. But there's some key things to be mindful of around that referendum. That the referendum was about a constitutional question, and that's not what this is about. There's no change to the constitution here. The referendum was also about a Commonwealth issue, and this is just a state-based issue. And the referendum was also about proposing essentially an untested model to put in place, whereas what we're doing here is we're enhancing 6 years of the First People's Assembly of Victoria and building from an existing model. So there's lots of issues with any comparison to say, well, this is just exactly like implementing something that some people said no to. And that's a key one to be able to push back against, and to just be able to keep making sure we're getting out the right information out there for people. So the more you have access to the social media tiles, the more you have access to our newsletters to show the actual information, the easier it will be to push back against some of that and not necessarily flame the fires of what they're saying, but just make sure that the real information is being put out there, which is really key.
Ruben, thanks so much for that. Are you happy to take the next question as well too about what's going to happen, whether it's been introduced to Parliament? My understanding is it has been tabled in Parliament. What do you know are the next steps?
Yeah, so it's been put on the floor. It's been first read and second read, which means they can move to debate the next time Parliament sits, which won't be until the 14th of October, so another month away from here. And then hopefully we'll pass through the lower house fairly smoothly. We know that the numbers there are quite strong for Labor to pass that bill. And then it will move to the upper house. And as you mentioned there, the numbers are not quite the same. But we've been having significant conversations now for quite some time with the Australian Greens and also with the Legalized Cannabis Party and the Animal Justice Party. And they've all both privately and publicly expressed their support for this process. But that looks like we'll be able to pass through there. But the more positive message you're going to get, the better, and to make sure that all sides of politics can see that there's strong support for this.